This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And we are here on the fifth quarter postgame show. Hour number two coming up your guys' way right now. And guys, I am so glad we get one more chance to do this season. It's everybody's favorite segment. Let's hand out some game balls.
We don't break. All right, that was a great job. We got it from everybody. Offense, big drive. Defense, they're going to stop at the end. We're going to make these corrections. We're going to get better. We're going to stay with our process, though. We're going to stay with our process. All right, let's get ready to go. Call it up, though. Call it up.
Let's go. This is all three. One, two, three.
It's time to present today's game balls with Travis, Seth, and OJ.
Oh, yeah, it's game balls time from a Dolphins victory, 8 of the last 9, clinching their second winning season in as many years for the first time since 2003, and sweeping the Patriots for the first time since 2000. Game balls. Juice, you want to do the honors here?
Yeah, I'll get it kicked off right here, man. Literally, let's get it started right here, man. You know, my game ball usually, you know, is predictable. It's predictable, Big Seth, as you know. I usually go offense, and I might go offense today.
Usually.
Well, I might go offense today. I am going to go offense today. But only because my guy scored an offensive touchdown a couple weeks ago. You know what I mean? That's my man, Christian Wilkins. How about this? I haven't talked much about Christian.
Curveball there.
Yeah, like
I thought he was taking my guy, Seth. Curveball. I thought he was taking my
guy. I'm like, this isn't what we planned. He did have a snap on offense. You're right.
Bro, he's been killing it on defense, and we haven't given him the props he's deserved. I mean, even last week, I thought about him. You know, he had 10 tackles last week against Tennessee, 7 more tackles today, 6 of them solo, a sack today. You know what I mean? So I'm giving up the big Christian Wilkins, who is probably the best fullback in the game today because there's not very many fullbacks in football right now, man. Guys in the middle of the trenches, they don't usually get the props they deserve, bro. But he's got to get it, man. He's been doing it week in and week out. I think he's got like 25 tackles the last 3 weeks, Big Seth. 3 weeks he's had 25 tackles, man. My game ball goes to my man, Christian Wilkins, who gets under everybody's skin but not mine, bro.
I don't know how you're going to beat that, Seth, but you're up next for your game ball. I thought Juice was about to steal mine. He didn't. But what do you got, man? You going to take mine also?
No, I won't, and I'm all kinds of thrown off right now. But I can't beat that. But I will give a game ball to Xavien Howard. I started the season with a game ball for X, and I'm finishing the season with a game ball for X. And let me tell you what. I understand Jalen Waddle is the team's MVP, and he deserves it.
Here we go, Juice.
I understand that there's a lot of great young players on this team, and that's exciting. But I got to tell you, Xavien Howard is the mainstay on this team. He's one of the best players in all the National Football League. He is a premier cornerback. Nobody's had more interceptions than this guy in the last however many years it is. He's got 27, 28. That's his fifth of the year, second time he scored. And when offense, when defense truly does turn to offense juice, I understand you tried to say Christian was an offensive player today, but when defense truly turns to offense, you're up 14-0 now. Before,
right.
The Patriots barely got warm. They barely broke a sweat, and they were down 14-0 because X-Man baited the young guy. Well, we can all talk about Mac Jones and how he doesn't look like a rookie. He doesn't look like a rookie. He looked like a rookie when he lined up against Xavier Howard when he was running the other way and doing the back splash into the end zone for a touchdown. Xavier Howard doesn't need another game ball from me because he's run out of room probably in his palatial estate with game balls, but he's going to get one. Great job by the X-Man.
Well, with how many game balls I give out, we've ran out of game balls across the entire organization at this
yeah.
point. So we give out about 12 every single week.
Charlie just had enough to finish the year.
I love that you mentioned the bookends there with week one, with that big play he made to kind of put that game on ice. Really, his pick six here, I mean, before that crazy Sam Eglebaum touchdown was kind of the difference there at the end for Xavier Howard. Great pick there, Seth. I'm going back to the offensive side. I thought Juice was taking him because he mentioned the Wilkins offensive player. I was like, we only have one offensive guy in the mix between the three of us.
I was.
I was getting ready to write my next little script here, but I'm going to the hometown kid, Duke.
It was the Duke. It was the Duke.
Guys, he had more than 13 carries twice this season, went over 100 yards in both games. 25 for a .117 today. He was the Dolphins' first and second 100-yard rusher on the season. He's the only one to do it. One of the best in-season acquisitions the Dolphins team has ever had, and to me, it actually gave you basically a whole element of the game that you were missing
yeah.
prior to that. We did not have a run game. It came into this game ranked 31st. If he's here the whole year, I'm not so sure they finish at 31st in rushing. 25 for a .117. That touchdown off the edge, a big 27-yard run after the Patriots made it a one-touchdown game there in that third quarter with their opening drive. So big-time stuff there. I think the sweet feet juice, the way he gets
yeah.
in and out of cuts, the ability to run behind his pads, I'm convinced. We talk about the running game that he kind of helps bolster. I'm convinced that he's the difference half the time between 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 4. So he's a big-time player, a big-time game for him. Again, back here at Hard Rock Stadium, that's what he does. He goes for 100 yards in this uniform, in this building. He did it again today. So that's my game ball, Duke Johnson Juice.
Yes, yes, man. Great call, Trav. I love it. I love it, man. Great game balls, man. Hey, it's tough. You know, it's tough on them to have game balls, you know what I mean, when they're, you know, when they're obviously going home. But these dudes did not quit. They showed up. And the Duke, everybody talks about this, Big Seth. Everybody talks about Dolphins do not grab running backs in the draft. I tell you what, better running backs are the better way to go. You got guys that know how to do it. They've seen it. They study it. And they're the best, man. Pass pro, knowing the blocking schemes, that's the best way to go. Some of these guys come out of college, they're good. They're really good. But until they learn what Duke and Philip Lindsay has going and start to learn the scheme and the blocking schemes, there won't be anything in this league, because that's the extra edge that running backs have when it comes to, you know, being successful in this league.
Yeah, I was going to say, back number two really for the Dolphins this to end the season was another guy they picked up in season. Philip Lindsay has 11 rushes for 40 yards in this game. He did not contribute in the passing game, but Miles Gaskin did. He caught 3 for 11, and one of those, a 7-yard reception, helped
yeah.
move the sticks on that opening drive that led to a Dolphins touchdown, which we talked about already, really set course for this game. Seth, I want to go back to the team MVP discussion here real quick. We have about 2 minutes left. I think OJ and I have been very public about our votes for who we voted for this award. I don't know if this is like politics where you're going to hold to yourself, but I don't really care. I'm talking about my vote for Jalen Waddle. That's what OJ voted for too. Sorry to out you, brother. But Seth, you came down with a different idea than us. Was it X or was it Holland?
I ended up going with Holland. And
okay.
So I had narrowed it down to 3, and Waddle was the offensive player I've narrowed it down to. And I have no problem with Jalen Waddle. I mean, gosh, what a light he was for this organization all year long. Not on the field and just his whole personality. Can't wait to watch this guy grow and develop, and hopefully our offense grow and develop around him. So I don't have a problem with Jalen Waddle having won that. But I decided I was going defense because I felt that the turnaround that occurred with this team really happened because of the way the defense got back to playing like the defense that we expected to see them play. And I truly, truly believe that the person who spearheaded that was the young guy, was Javon Holland. I talked about this on the Lunch Bunch, but I think that his aggressive play, his physical play, the athleticism, they started to build defenses around the things that he could do, including what Brandon Jones can do in this. You know, how many teams, how many offensive coordinators got even less sleep because they started to see what we were doing with our young safeties? And the guy I just talked about who just got a game ball, I feel like, look, Xavien Howard is going to play at an elite level every time he lines up. But there was a little something extra that he started to bring when he started to feed off of the energy that the young guy was bringing. And so that's why I cast my vote for Javon Holland. And I was kind of excited to have a vote. I've been around this team a long time. I tabulated those votes for 8 years. I got to tabulate those votes, and I could see who guys were voting for. So when I got the email that I actually had a vote, I was like, oh, man, I'm going to take this seriously. And then you guys just were like, waddle, 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 waddle. I was like, okay, all right, well, I'm going to be a little different.
Well, I'm just glad that OJ got... That one, that's kind of felt like maybe a third down play where the quarterback missed you. You're looking fired up there, my man.
Yeah, I'm always fired up, though. You know me, Travis. Come on, man.
He's fired up.
Always.
Can I give one more?
No, you cannot. You're not allowed to.
Well, then here's what I'm going to do then. I don't know if the segment's over. I don't know when we're out. But I do want to give a shout-out to one of our great fans, and there's so many of them who are out there, regardless of what the playoff implications were or weren't. But my man, seriously, Savak Melton came down from Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. The only game he's been to all year, and he celebrated his 30th birthday today.
What, 30? That's it?
I know, he looks...
He's just a young pup, man, all these young cats. But Savak came down here with the missus, and they celebrated his 30th birthday in the stands with other Doll fans. And they get to go home with a victory as opposed to all those wet, sad Patriot fans.
No, that, and he also was doing some stuff I saw on social with Brian Bernesi, the Dolphins fan who passed away earlier this year. Yeah. The dad joke of the day, if you guys are on Twitter.
Yep.
He was great content and great fun there, and we miss him. And good stuff by Savak. Good mention there, Seth. Back to you guys.
I couldn't get a game ball, Savak, but we at least get you a shot.
Yeah, 1,000%.
So I just wanted to make this quick point. Waddle ends the year 104 catches, 1,015 yards, ooh, 6 touchdowns. He rushed for one, so seven
touchdowns, right?
And that's in 16 games, so nice. It doesn't count the 17th game. We're going to come back and talk about that young core some more, this Dolphins defensive showing, and a whole lot more. Get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 33, Patriots 24. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Dade County Federal Credit Union, the official credit union of the Miami Dolphins, is now offering the perfect checking account with the Miami Dolphins branded credit card. This account offers rewards for Doll fans. Become a member today. Visit finscu.com for details. Certain restrictions apply. Federally insured by NCUA. And guys, I want to talk about this defense a little more than we already have, because the numbers kind of got skewed late there in the game as they went up and down the field with the Dolphins kind of not letting them do it, but playing more of an inviting defense to gain yards and make big plays. And golly, some of those players made some big diving catches down the field late in that game. But I want to come back to this point because I was focusing on it based upon the first matchup when the Patriots went 11 for 16 on third downs and they didn't quite convert in the red zone in that game. And that, to me, was the difference in the game back in week one. And they start this game 1 for 5 on third down conversions early on. They finished 5 for 10. Again, 11 for 16 in the opener. And in the red zone of this game, the first three possessions, they got one touchdown, a field goal, and a fumble. So Miami held serve on third downs in the red zone. You add in a pick six, guys. Seth, OJ, I don't know who wants to take it, but I thought they just kind of did everything in this game, and the late production kind of made it a little bit closer than it should have been. This Dolphins defense got after it once again.
Yeah, once again they did, man. They really did. You look at some of the numbers you talk about, Travis, man, and I tell you what. This defense is as advertised. They really are, man. They're that good. And it doesn't hurt when you get a 14-point lead, courtesy of the defense giving us that one touchdown, right, which helped out a lot. So at that point, you can play the type of defense or any type of defense you want to play, and you can also play the same offense that you want to play. Look, the Patriots being the champion breed and everything they got going on, made it a very interesting at the end. We got a touchdown late, but they were in the game late in the game. But at the same time, though, I mean, you look at it, Trav. These guys actually went out there, and our defense, man, just love them so much, man. The third down conversion is 5 or 10, but a lot of that came late in the game, But at the same time, they give them some yards that you don't even really recognize, because when you're playing catch-up, you're going to get a lot of yards. Defense played their butts off today. The young guys played their butts off today. The whole thing was, there's a lot of things that could have happened for this team, our team, that could have been bad because they had nothing to play for. Now, in New England, they had something to play for, and then they didn't have anything to play for. But they didn't know that until at the end of the game, you know? So, I mean, I love the fact that no matter what, our young guns, defensively and offensively, went out there and they played so well, so solidly, you know what I mean? And it was just fun to watch. So, bottom line is this. We got a lot to build from. Got a lot to learn from. We should be in a better position than we are in. But we are where we are. But same time, though, man, and you said it best, man, 8 out of 9. 8 out of 9, man, that's a lot. That's
rubbing
a
rubbing the hands together over here, Seth. He's fired up about it.
That's a lot to digest, man, that we got 8 out of 9, man. And, you know, the fact that this team never quit, they never stopped balling, never stopped playing hard, you know what I mean? I'm impressed, bro. I'm just sad because I'm not a former player anymore, Big Seth. I'm a super fan, bro.
But you're still a former player, Juice.
I'm a super fan more than I'm a former player, man. And that bothers me more than anything, man. I need more weeks of Dolphin football, bro.
Yeah, we do.
That's what I need.
Well, you got one more this season, and it finishes the Dolphins win. And, you know, kind of to the point about the defense, Seth, I thought that the run defense helped set the third down defense up to get exotic and do some of the stuff you talked about. I thought it was a great mix of rush, but also a lot of coverage on Mac Jones, where he's kind of back there in the pocket, and they're not too worried about him breaking contain and going off for a rush. He had a chance, I think, in the third quarter of that game to kind of rip one up the sideline. He chose to throw the ball up the field, and it goes incomplete. So I thought Miami's game plan that way was really good, and you gave the game ball to Christian Wilkins. Obviously, guy makes play after play after play, but they do a good job of getting the Patriots into these third long situations. And that helps the third down defense, helps the entire team out when you can play that way. So run defense, exotic pressure. Seth, what do you think this defense did best? Like, what was the thing that you came away from this game saying, this Dolphins defense did this, and that's why they won the game?
Well, he put points on the board. I mean, I'm going to start with that. You know, and early, literally the first drive New England has turns into points for us. So that's the best thing they did. But, you know, if you want me to kind of take a higher level view of it all, is everything that you said, and it was interesting to hear you describe it, because you said they scored some points late. They weren't garbage points. I mean, they made a run, had an opportunity to come back, but the defense held. They held, ultimately made enough plays. But look, this is a team that we saw win a game by only rushing the ball the entire game.
Yeah.
This is a young quarterback that's getting a lot of love by the national media. This is a good football team, and if the game didn't mean anything to them, they wouldn't have played a lot of the guys that you saw play today.
Right,
so the game did mean something to them. I can tell you that that Bill Belichick is tired of losing to Brian Flores. You know he wanted to go out there and get a W, but they couldn't get it done.
No. Three straight over this Patriots team. I have to go back a long way before you probably find someone that was able to do that, Juice. And just to kind of finish that point here with a couple minutes, guys, you mentioned the young core we have, not just offensively. We talk about, you know, we talked about it earlier, the potential growth opportunities there for the offensive line. But you go back to this defense, and you guys mentioned Javon Holland. I mean, again, in this game, he's making these big hits that, to me, kind of set a tone, Juice. I don't know if that does anything for you on the offensive side, but he's popping guys every week. Jalen Phillips, we talk about Waddle's record. He broke the Dolphins rookie sack record. You know, they had some nice runs off the left side of the offensive line behind Liam Eichenberg and last year's first round pick and Austin Jackson. To me, Rob Hunt is a hit, plain and simple. He's playing really good at that right guard position. Brandon Jones, Raekwon Davis, the hits just keep coming, Juice.
Well, let's just talk about that. That's a great point right there, Travis, because I mean, you could, everybody could say whatever about the old line. Our old line is so young, you know what I mean? 1 or 2 years in, and I can't imagine what 2 or 3 years in is going to look for these guys. Bottom line is this, with the offensive line, it's not about guys that are dominant guys, but guys that are really good playing with each other. You know, if you got a bunch of good guys, it can become a great offensive line. And I think that's where we're headed with these guys. I really feel like, you know, we got some guys that are really, in terms of like their age alone, are super young in the game. And they're going to learn so much more. And they're going to become a better offensive line. You can't tell me, nobody can tell me that this O-line hasn't gotten better over the second half of this season. You don't win games like this. You don't go on a winning streak, you know, winning 7 out of 8 or 8 out of 9, whatever we did, without an offensive line doing some things as well. And so, for us and for me, you know, that means a lot. that these guys are starting to come around. And, sorry, Big Seth. Big Seth is everybody. If everybody doesn't know, Big Seth is at home and not feeling well, so he's not in studio with us, giving us his germs and cooties, you know. But back to that, you know, like, I mean, the whole protocol for them too. Our protocol is the same. These guys stayed healthy and they got better along the way. We kept Seth at home and we've gotten better. Not without you, Big Seth, but why you're not here, right?
I was wondering how
that's
you're
what it sounded like.
Yeah, it was getting there.
Exactly what it sounded like.
It was getting there, huh?
I think it went there. I think it's exactly where it went.
No, it's a good point. We wind up, like I mentioned, with like four drives, that really lengthy drives that put points on the board for this Dolphins offense. That's a big part of this victory, obviously. Coming up next, we'll do the drive of the game, and that includes this offensive line. Get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 33, Patriots 24. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Give your game day menu the perfect kick of spice with Old El Paso. Try recipes the whole team will love, like slow cooker cheesy chicken enchilada bean dip, air fryer beef taquitos, or carnitas mini taco bowls. Visit oldelpaso.com for these recipes and more game day favorites. Old El Paso Taco together. It's the last one of these of the season. Guys, I'm glad we had a chance to make it a good one. The Lexus drive of the game is brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers, who encourage you to experience amazing. 13 plays, 77 yards, 7 minutes and 26 seconds off the clock to kick off the game, finished off by a pair of former members of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Dieter the center. Waddle in motion. They give it to Duke. No, he pulls it back out. Open. Throws it. End zone. Touchdown. Waddle. What a great play action fake and a touchdown to Jalen Waddle.
Jimmy, all set up by that fake. Boy, I thought they were going to run the ball and everybody got sucked up. Jalen Waddle wide open in the back of the end zone, keeps his feet in bounds. What a great looking play.
He went in motion. Nobody went with him.
So Waddle's seventh touchdown or total touchdown of the season. And, you know, Seth, you guys had both talked. We had that segment earlier about the quarterback position. And Tua finishes this game 15 for 22 for 109 and a touchdown. But on that opening drive, 7 for 7 for 54 yards and that touchdown strike. And Waddle caught 4 of his 5 passes, 24 of his 27 yards, and the touchdown on that drive to get things going early. So Dolphins offense came out hot and put up enough points on the board right away to make this game go in a direction that kind of helped the Dolphins play a full complimentary style of football, and it got started early there.
Yeah, I mean, that opening drive was unbelievable. I was texting you guys, and I was like, what is this? This was incredible. 7 of 7 now. If you take 7 of 7 away from 15 of 22, it does leave a little bit to be desired, and I think that goes back to what Juice was saying earlier about, yeah, I mean, they did a lot of great things to win this game, 195 yards on the ground. There were some throws that we would have liked to have seen. And I think if certain throws had been made, if certain hold your breath, you know, we always talk about, gosh, there's that one throw or two throws a game, and Tua threw those right into the breadbasket, as you like to say, Travis. They just didn't get caught. But I think that's when you start to see even more conservative play calling. So if we didn't see those things, maybe those numbers would have looked a little bit differently. But on that first drive, he could do no wrong.
Yeah.
He did no wrong. Let's go ahead and pick it up here in just 1 second. Juice, let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can identify themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS, WKIS HD1, and WKIS HD2 Boca Raton. Home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
You know, Juice, we kind of got talking about Tua there a little bit, but just to kind of put a bookend on the season, it was somewhat of a familiar, easy for me to say, somewhat of a familiar formula in so many of the wins we saw this season, where the Dolphins come out and have these strong opening drives, and Seth talked about texting us and saying, what was that? Yeah. I saw, you know, different formations and shifts and motions and running the same plays out of different formations and just all kinds of different groupings, and so they have the game start that way, and they finish off with a 4-minute offense drive there late, and the Patriots got it back at the 1-yard line with one play left, so the offense did their job, but that was a formula in this season for the Dolphins to really find a way to win it, and they went back to it this time in week 18.
Man, that's what you asked for right there. You know, that opening drive, everybody should be, you know, salivating on that opening drive, because that's the one where you've got everything planned out. You got all the different adjustments you want to make. You want to see how they adjust to this, you know, and the Dolphins, did an amazing job of getting so many guys involved. I'm looking at it right now. We already talked about Tua. Obviously, he's a quarterback. You got Johnson. You got Waddle. You know, you got so many guys that are part of what happened in that opening drive. Gesicki, Lindsey, everybody we know on offense got involved in that at the beginning of that drive. And when you go 13 plays, and Seth, you know, we've talked about it a million times, where you go long drives is an opportunity for things to go bad along the way. But didn't go bad this time. 13 plays, 77 yards, half of the first quarter. I was looking up, like, when I was, like, watching the game, like, damn, they run off half the first quarter already. You know what I mean? And then right away, they get it back, and they go in and score again.
Perfect start.
14-0, you know, with a few minutes left in the first quarter. You couldn't ask for a better start for this team, and that's what happened. But the involvement of all the guys on offense, getting so many guys involved. Going off of last week, considering that, you know, we had all very well, but to come out here making a statement on their first opportunity, getting the ball first, which doesn't happen a lot in the NFL,
no.
You know, by choice. I think, I mean, that's impressive that we went down there and put a drive together like that and so many guys involved, man. Kudos for them because we're our team that plays so much better playing from ahead. Most teams play better, you know, ahead in the score, but we are a much better team. We have a 7-0 lead early in the game. And that proved, you know what I mean, to be the point today because these guys went out there and they did that, and then the defense came back and they followed up with their own score.
No, that's why I like the idea with the defense getting that quick touchdown, too, that you're up 14-0 and you just start turning these long drives, 726, 658, 630. I mean, that's – I don't know. I'm terrible at math. We've talked about this all season long.
Carry the one.
That's
though,
almost,
make sure you carry
the
one.
That's almost a half of football in three drives right there that you're possessing the entire – you know, taking the air out of the ball, to use a funny phrase in this game. But yeah, Seth, Juice mentioned it there with the way they spread the ball around the offense. I'm looking at the play sheet here. Waddle for a few catches, obviously. Duke Johnson, Phillip Lindsey had some carries. Gesicki caught a ball. Miles Gaskin had a big third down conversion as well. Spreading the wealth out, man, to all these options, getting things going. What was your takeaway of this opening drive, our Lexus drive of the game here?
Well, I mean, you guys kind of said it all. It was exactly that. It was balance. It was precision. It was, and I think, you know, one of the things that we saw all year long that was kind of interesting is that when they had those scripted first drives, Juice, they did have success. As much as there was criticism of all the different things surrounding this offense this year, they had a lot of really successful opening drives that led to points, which was something for years that haunted this Miami Dolphins team. So, and then what we started scratching our head, particularly during that long run, was what happens in the second quarter? Like, what happens once we've gone through that play sheet? Why can't we call the same plays in the second quarter and then things start to stall out? Fortunately, this year they had enough, and I think it was on the backs of Duke Johnson and Phillip Lindsey, and occasionally Tua. They had enough in the running game there when they weren't able to move the ball in the air.
And that running game, it really, especially, you know, if it's December or January right now, but in a September-October time of atmosphere down here in South Florida, that's kind of a good way to operate your football team. We'll see if they can grow and build on that next year and get off to a hotter start with some wins here at home and on the road as well. But, you know, Seth, you mentioned the opening drive touchdown, you know, tally this year. I remember one of the – I think it was Adam Gase's last year here that they started the season with, like, 12 consecutive games without an opening drive touchdown, and it might have actually been the Miami Miracle game they broke that streak. So it was nice to see the Dolphins get those early leads, but that is your Lexus drive of the game brought to you by your South Florida Lexus dealers, who encourage you to see, hear, feel, and experience amazing 13 plays, 77 yards, and 7.5 minutes off the clock. We have a couple minutes left on the segment, guys. I want to touch on this. We talked about it earlier, but Robert Jones comes off the bench as an undrafted rookie to make his first NFL start. He's seen some time as an extra offensive lineman, and I'm not going to ask you to sit here and break down offensive line play when you're at a game live. It's tough to see, but Juice, I wanted to get your takeaway on this because he comes in and replaces a guy that, you know, to the chagrin of a lot of the Dolphins fans out there that have kind of beaten up on Jesse Davis this year, and he struggled. He'll be the first to tell you that. He finally gets replaced here by Robert Jones, and the rookie comes in and plays a pretty good game. What do you think of that move and that decision there by the Dolphins?
Man, you know what, man? It's amazing that you decide to make that decision in week 18 of the season, you know? And, you know, we've seen Robert Jones come in, and he's been eligible receiver reporting, you know, a lot of times as an extra lineman. But, man, I think this. What other time do you have in order and a chance to get to see guys when it's live, when the MO is live, man? You know, Jesse struggled. He has struggled. A lot of our linemen have struggled, man. We've seen it. We've seen whatever analytics you want to look at, we've seen a lot of our linemen have struggled. So, you know what? Give some guys an opportunity in this game of all games, you know, to see what we got, see what we're working with. And so for him to come in, and, I mean, honestly, look, I mean, the numbers don't lie. It was a solid day by the offensive line.
Absolutely.
By the offense in general, man. They did a solid job, man. I mean, Tua was sacked, what, once, twice? Tua was sacked one time
for 6 yards. I think we talked about that play.
Yeah.
You know, man, yeah. I don't know if Travis wants to get into that, but that was a ball. I don't think that's a sack he should have taken. So was he under some duress? Yes, but I think that – I think that when there are teams that don't take a lot of sacks, some of it is dominant offensive line play, but some of it is also the quarterback, whether it's a quick release or just not being willing to take negative plays. And so I think it's a combination of those two things. And truth be told, I don't think the offensive line should have had any sacks today.
Yeah, exactly right. So I'm with you on that. So I thought the offensive line did a heck of a job. Not only that, though, think about this. We ran for almost 200 yards. The Dolphins ran for almost 200 yards today. Duke over 100 again. You know what I mean? I mean that is special. Tua finally using his legs a little bit.
Two big runs.
Yeah, exactly right. So, 1,000%, man. O-line did a heck of a job. The one sack you're talking about, which we're going to credit to quarterback Big Seth, because you feel that way.
I am.
And I feel that way, too. You know what I mean? It could have been a, you know, throw it away somewhere and give
us
a
better opportunity. We're dancing around the juice. How much time we have in this segment, Travis?
We'll come back and talk about it next segment.
Okay.
All right, bet.
I can't see it now. I'm looking at the Zonka jersey. I can't see the break.
Let's finish with this, because I wanted to make this last point about my Robert Jones point there. You know, Brian Flores was asked earlier this week about if they were going to try to see some more young guys get some playing time, and he said, no, we're playing to win the game. So the Robert Jones to Jesse Davis move, is that an advantage as far as they felt he had a better chance to give – he gave him a better chance to win, or was it trying to see a young guy play snap?
It's got to be, right? I mean, that's Brian Flores' mantra every single time. Every decision he's going to make is what gives the Miami Dolphins the best chance to be successful. So it has to be the reason.
And that right there is why I found it so interesting. We'll talk about the great debate next coming up. We'll have the last out-of-town scoreboard of the year. We'll talk about what's next. All of that's next. Get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Dolphins 33, Patriots 24. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso in Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. We're talking about lasts of the season here. We have one more out-of-town scoreboard wrap-up to get to. Throw on the music. Let's go ahead and kick this thing off. And right now in Las Vegas, this was my favorite game of the week, because if the Colts lost to the Jaguars, both these teams could have taken knees for 60 minutes and qualified for the playoffs. It looks like they're not going to do that. The Raiders are up 10-7 right now early in the second quarter. Saturday action, the Chiefs down the Broncos 28-24 with a nice Nick Bolton long touchdown recovery on a Drew Lock fumble. The Cowboys trounce the Eagles 51-26. Spinning it forward to Sunday, Bengals and Browns. The Browns take it 21-16. The Lions get their third win of the season, 37-30 over an Aaron Rodgers-less Packers. They pulled him early in that game. He rested up, and they still put up 30 points on that Lions defense. The Vikings take one 31-17 over the Chicago Bears. The football team wins one 22-7 over the Giants, who had a rough end of the season. The Jaguars, we talked about it earlier, they get the number one pick again with a victory. What a great week 18 it was for them. 26-11. They spoiled the Colts season, who dropped to 9-8 and out of the playoff picture. The Steelers take down the Ravens with a 16-13 overtime win. You might have to watch the Steelers in the playoffs this year if no one ties in this game tonight. They're going to be in, so you might have to see more of that offense in the playoffs. The Titans 28, the Texans 25. The Titans clinch the number one seed in the AFC, and they'll get Derrick Henry back for their playoff push. Scary team there in the conference. The Saints take out the Falcons 30-20, but that would not be enough to get them into the postseason, because the Rams won in overtime, or the Niners rather, beat the Rams in overtime. My apologies. 27-24, and that win puts the Niners into the postseason, which means the Dolphins' first-round draft choice is not yet solidified with having the 49ers' first-round pick. We'll find out where they lose or where they wind up with that first-round pick. The Buffalo Bills beat the Jets 27-10. In their season finale, they win the AFC East for the second consecutive year. The Seahawks take down the Cardinals 38-30, a big offensive showing there, and the Buccaneers win their finale to get to 13-4. And I believe wrap up the one seed or maybe the two seed, I forget, 41-17 over division rival Carolina. So the Raiders and Chargers right now 10-7, middle of the second quarter there, right. The last game of the regular season here. And then we have wild card playoffs next week, guys.
So much going on
in the NFL world. And let's go ahead and pick it back up because I know Seth's waiting to get on this topic here. The end of the first half, and this is something we're talking about only because we text about it for half the damn game, but we had a chance to kick a long field goal, potentially gain some more yards at the end of the first half. There was 11 seconds to play, no timeouts left, 3rd-and-1 at the Patriots 44-yard line, and the Patriots get home for their only sack of the game. Seth, go ahead, man. Just jump in here and give us your thoughts on that play.
Well, I love that you set it up that way. Look, the bottom line is I feel that is all the responsibility of the quarterback on that play. Yes, people have to block for him. Yes, people have to get open. But the quarterback is in control of the football. He knows how much time he's got left. He knows he doesn't have any timeouts. He's got one quick opportunity to make a throw somewhere, right, either to the sticks or to the sidelines, right, Juice, or get rid of the rock. And if things break down, you can't start dancing and looking and then take a sack because that's the end of the half. I just think that, you know, the two things you absolutely cannot do there are turn the ball over, which he didn't, thankfully, but you can't turn it over, and you can't take a sack there. You have to give – that's no gimme. It would have been a 62-yard field goal or whatever it might have been, but you still have to give the special teams unit and Jason Sanders an opportunity to line up and try and get points. That's his job. That's his responsibility, and I express that in our chat. I think our chat is probably would be one of the most interesting chats that Miami Dolphins fans could follow. But I expressed that in our chat, and you took issue with my position.
Well, let me go ahead and make my position here before we let Juice get in here and give his final takeaways on it. But here's my argument is I just want to help the quarterback out as much as I can. And that's part of that is obviously the way you build around the guy, but that's not something you talk about in season. The thing I'm talking about is when it's 2nd-and-10, don't run the ball and put him into a 3rd-and-7 where it's a lot more difficult to pass against a defense that knows you have to pass, things like that. So on that drive, there was 2 running plays. So that already, when you're against the clock with a minute to go and a couple of timeouts left. Now, granted, I know you want to kind of shorten that clock and keep it out of the Patriots' hands and kind of get last possession there, but that puts you in a position where you have to be urgent. Now, it's 3rd-and-1. You have no timeouts left, and the 44-yard line, that is a 61-yard field goal, so you're not really in field goal range yet. Mm. You need more yards. So my whole thing is you kind of put the quarterback in a position where he felt like he had to get more yards, and you couldn't complete a ball in the middle of the field because 11 seconds to go there, and my final point was the route concept that I saw from that particular play. Waddle was there in the flat, and he was completely blanketed on the out route, and then there was 2 vertical routes that just, I don't know what they're going to do with those. So his only option was Waddle, and I'll give you this final point, Seth, before I let Juice get in. He should have thrown the ball 50 feet over Waddle's head. Agreed. I agree with that. No doubt about that.
That's
but
the bottom line.
All of those other elements also bother me. That's my only point.
Well, I think but you're right there. Go ahead, Seth.
I'm just going to say he talks about shouldn't run the ball. They had 1st-and-10 at the 7 with 1:02 left. I have no problems. They're gashing the Patriots, number one. Number two, you got 1:02 left, or 56 seconds, I guess. They took the timeout at 56 seconds. So they get the ball on their own 7-yard line, and they run the ball, and Duke rips off 11 yards. So, I got no problem with being conservative when you're backed up to your own 7-yard line. You hand the ball off. All of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. Duke ran the ball for 11 yards. Then you get a timeout. Then he goes, let's see if we can do it again. He gets another 9 yards. So now Duke's gotten 20 yards there in 2 carries. Now they start throwing the ball, Travis. They do start throwing the ball. So I that's why I said I don't think the running plays were a problem at all. If they had taken a knee, half the state stadium might have booed, but they were down in their own 7-yard line protecting a nice lead. I get that they don't want to do anything too aggressive there. But once you start getting towards the other side of the field and you're throwing the ball, the quarterback has the responsibility to not take that sack. He can't do it. He cannot do it. And it doesn't matter what happened 5 plays earlier at that point.
I can't agree more. Sorry, Travis, you're right. The sack is, I mean, it's huge right there, man. You got an opportunity. You know what I mean? Those are big plays that you think about that could be difference makers, you know? Albeit, like, early in the game. At the same time, though, taking a sack right there is
halftime. It's not early in the game at that point, Juice.
That's early in the game still. You know, you don't win games in the first half, bro. You know what I mean? You don't win them, but you can lose them.
All
bro.
I hear about is the middle 8 minutes from Travis and how important it is. And so if you can score there, right, because the whole thing the Patriots want to do is march down the field, score on the last possession of the second half, and score on the first possession of the first half, right? That's they quote unquote, where's the air quotes? They invented that or made it popular, and everybody tries to replicate it now, and they didn't get a chance to. So we got the ball back, and we got an opportunity to actually steal points there at the end of the quarter. Not guaranteed. I'm not saying that that's a gimme, but you had an opportunity to steal points, and instead they come out and they kick a field goal. That field goal would have been negligible. I can't even say the word. Field goal wouldn't have mattered. Field goal wouldn't have mattered.
There you go. Stop trying to use 25-cent words when a 5-cent word will work.
Look at that. Look at that.
The field goal wouldn't have mattered at that point if we had scored a field goal or at least had the opportunity to kick the field goal there. And I tell you, late in the game, and this is definitely late in the game, Juice, when they closed it to 3 points, it would have been 6 points. It would have scored a touchdown to win instead of a field goal to tie it there at the end. And so I think that those decisions that are made can end up hurting you. And we've seen it hurt this team in games that they did lose earlier in the year. Didn't become an issue here, but that's why I got so fired up. And I think I got more fired up that you weren't willing to say, yeah, Tua needs to just throw that ball away.
Well, you know what? Somebody out there right now is listening and yelling at the radio that, well, Seth is right. Those are good points, Travis.
That's what I'm saying.
And that guy, I would salute you, sir. So Tua ends the game 15 for 22, 109, one touchdown, 94.7 passer rating, 2 big runs. Mac Jones, 20 for 30, 261, a touchdown and a pick, and a 91.1 passer rating. So close there in terms of the passer ratings. We're going to come back and talk about what's next ahead in the podcast network, talk a little bit of off-season here just real quick. It's our final segment of the season for you guys. We'll do all that here next. Get your new Kia with Gunther Plus at Gunther Kia or online at GuntherKia.com. For car buying done your way, you got to get to Gunther. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium and a bit of a sad juice over here. Dolphins take this one 33-24 over the Patriots. You're listening to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches. From the electricity in the stadium to the highlight reel plays, there's nothing quite like Dolphins football or any event at Hard Rock Stadium. And this season, you can be there live to cheer them on as the official marketplace of the NFL. Ticketmaster has you covered with the largest selection of seats for any budget. Get off the couch and into the stands. Grab your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Dolphins. Guys, we got to go to a Heat game or a Panthers game or maybe a Marlins game this summer and get that crew together for some other games and use Ticketmaster there.
I use Ticketmaster all the time, man. All the time. It could be in concerts. You know
do they still have paper tickets?
I was just going to ask you, did you use the app? Because I love the Ticketmaster app personally. I know Seth probably can't stand
it. No more paper tickets, Big Seth. Nobody wants to handle paper tickets anymore, man.
God, I love paper
tickets. Step into the current, man.
He refuses.
Jeez. Yeah,
it's all good. We got about 6 minutes here, guys. Actually, 5 minutes now left. Let's go ahead and finish up this podcast here. We always talk about what's next. Just real quick, do we have an episode of the Fish Tank this week, or is it a week out?
We do not. We are moving into a bi-weekly format. So OJ and I are, I don't want to say we're taking the week off. We are just diversifying where our attention is going to be placed.
Yes, yes.
But we'll be I think the next episode will fall on Tuesday, January 18th, and we'll be going bi-weekly throughout the offseason.
Mr. No Days Off taking a couple of days off, it sounds like.
Well
no,
there
will
choice.
Be no days taken off.
He will not. We cannot take days off. But, yeah, Big Seth, man, dude, he works me hard, bro. He works me hard, man, which I appreciate. I need to be driven more, and Big Seth is that dude, man. So we're going to have a few guys, some really good guys that have been asked about that we're going to have in the next few weeks in the off season, and it's going to be fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to what you're doing, bro, because you got the harder haul. The off-season haul is way tougher than what we do. What do you got going, Blair?
Oh, it's fun. It's one of my favorite times of year because I've always told Seth this, that I love training camp football more than any football because you get a chance to watch and evaluate without having the emotion that, you know, you don't have to ever feel like we felt last Sunday, ever, during
what
training camp.
What good is it without the emotion? What's the point?
Yeah, it is the yin and the yang. I'll give you that. But it's nice going into it knowing that I'm going to go away happy and I'm not going to be sad no matter what. So that's my number one thing. But, no, we've got the Senior Bowl coming up here in just a few weeks. So I'm kicking off this week with some Senior Bowl stuff. I'm going to dive into those rosters and start kind of getting my notes together.
Dive in, Big Seth. You hear that?
Right away,
that?
Man.
I absolutely heard it. I mean, still, it is a Fish Tank postgame show.
Still right. Almost 4 months away from the draft, and we're going to be getting into that. And I also love this time of year because I get to have, like you guys, I get to have some great guests. And where you guys have all these legendary Dolphins, I have some of my, you know, people like me have said this before, but as much as I love being around former players, sometimes I get a little bit nervous around the big broadcasters because that's what I always wanted to be when I was younger. So those are kind of, in a way, my heroes. And I've had so many great guys in the podcast. What, you know, Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl was on last year, for instance. You know, Daniel Jeremiah, Charles Davis, all these, Peter Schrager, all these great insiders and guys that awesome, you know, words. Analyze the game. We're going to have some of those guys in the podcast with all the draft content. We'll get you back on, Juice, if we draft some receivers and talk about their game.
You
and
better draft some
and
receivers,
everything.
Travis.
We'll talk about everything. So it's all on the table. Tomorrow's going to be the All-22 review, and then I think we start turning the page after that and get into the off-season stuff, guys. So why don't we go ahead and start there, Juice. We got a few minutes left. Off-season, what do you want to see?
I just want to see us continue to get better as an organization, man, because no matter what, if you win a Super Bowl, you still got to find a way to get better in some other places. If you go to Super Bowl, you got to find a way to get better in some other places. And obviously, this team has room to grow. You know, we didn't make the playoffs. You know, a winning season is one thing, but bottom line is winning it all. So we got to look at and reevaluate the whole roster. Roster of players, roster of coaches, roster of everything to figure out how do we come up short and how do we not get there and what can make us better, you know, moving forward in 2022. So that's all I care about, man. And when you're in a situation that we're in, that's all you can care about. All you can care about is what can we do to get over the hump. Last year we thought we were over the hump, 10-6, didn't make the playoffs. This year we're like a game out or half game out, didn't make the playoffs. So get in the playoffs. Figure out what we didn't do well enough to get us to where we need to be. And that's what the offseason is all about. Always, 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 every single day, making our roster better, no matter what it is. Some teams, there's no perfect roster out there. So our team obviously doesn't have a perfect roster because we're out of playoffs. So find a way to make our roster better, position by position, coach by coach, whatever it is, to figure out what we're missing.
Sometimes it's Duke Johnson in October. Sometimes it's Jalen Waddle in April. Sometimes it's Nick Needham in May as an undrafted free agent. You can get better all the time. And, you know, ever since I started working with the organization and really doing podcasts and covering this team full time, I like the offseason because it's like you almost feel like you're a part of it and getting back to work. And I'm sure that's how the coaches in that building feel, how the front office feels. I'm sure that this end of the season really fueled them, Seth, for this kind of push run into the offseason to go ahead and make those corrections that Juice talked about to finally get over that hump, don't you think?
Yeah, well, look, it's better to go into the season winning than it is to go in losing and just trying to figure out that you got to tear everything down. And man, the reaction, I think, sometimes from fans and media is it's so quick to just want to tear down, to fire, to cut, to remove, to trade, to get rid of, to find something that's bright and shiny on the other side of the fence. And yes, you have to be additive, but I'm just a firm believer that you have to find out what's really good within your organization or has the opportunity to be good and continue to develop and grow from within. I think that that's really important, and I think there are pieces to build upon that exist on this current roster. I think that sometimes there's such a knee-jerk reaction and that teams are too quick to get rid of, whether it's all the way at the top from head coaches to certain players. And can't say you sit on everything all the time forever, but I think sometimes you got to look at what you have and see what, you know, hey, how do we coach up some of these young guys that we expected more of? How do we get more out of them? How do we find the guys that are really good and build around them? And so those are the things that I'm looking forward to. But to go back to what your question was, Travis, yeah, it's a lot better to come off of a victory or to come off of 8 out of 9 victories and go in and say, okay, what worked? But as I said towards the top of the show, how do we not start the way we started the last handful of years? How do we get to the point where we're starting faster?
It'll be a big key for a team that does have a tendency to finish strong like they do. And to finish off that point there, I think the way that this team, the way they're going into the offseason, they have, it's so clear what they need to go do, and I think that makes it easier when it's not, you know, filling out an entire roster of guys you have to go work out and figure out with all the resources you have. And I just want to go ahead and finish up here and give you two, Seth and OJ, a big thank you. You guys are my Florida family, man. You've made life much easier down here in South Florida for this kid from the Northwest and for my wife and my daughter. You guys have been really good to us, and I really appreciate that. So I'm going to miss having the show with you guys every week, but I know the text chain lives on.
The text chain for
an
sure.
Infamy.
It's going to be
text chain.
Daily. It's going to be unbelievable, man. And for you guys too, man. It's been a fun roller coaster ride. You know what I mean? For our first year doing the post game show, man. And I think we enjoyed it, man. I think week in, week out, we talked about as our best post game show ever. But honestly, I think we got better as it went along, man.
Right.
But I think, you know, we're such huge Dolph fans. We also are so critical and realistic about everything going on with our team, man. So it's been a pleasure kicking it this season, man. I wish the season was longer. It's not. But I tell you what, I promise you, next year we'll be doing post-game games. Post-games. I promise you that. Post-season games.
I knew
post-game. You got me, big
Is that a guarantee,
Seth?
Juice?
That's a guarantee, man.
I sure hope so. I sure hope so. One, certainly because of what it would mean for this Miami Dolphins franchise, but it's a lot of fun. You know, I know this is kind of the hug it out, and everybody's probably throwing up as they're driving home in the car because it's just it's a little bit too sweet in here right now, but all the love we've got for each other. But it was very kind words that you had to say there, Travis. It's been a ton of fun. I think you've been driving this thing for us all year long and making it easy on us. My first time ever doing this as much as I've been around the organization, for as long as I've been around the organization. So, it's been a tremendous amount of fun. I wish I were there with you guys for this last one. That's the one thing that was disappointing for me. But can't high five you guys. Got to shout out Steph. I know he doesn't get enough love, you know. So Steph's done a great job, and Matt and Greeper back there. He is two thumbs up from Steph, who got me all right from the top of the show, got me straightened out with my microphone, the issues that I was having here, and then, you know, and Matt and Greeper, everybody. So it's been awesome, man. Solana teeing you up every week. It's been really cool. It's been a great experience.
Yeah, a lot of fun, and I like Juice has mentioned there, the guarantee. I can't wait to get back next year and do this all over again. And I would be remiss if I did not thank the boss, Jason Jenkins. He made all of this happen for all of us. The best boss I ever had by a long shot. So thank you so much, Jason. Looking forward to what we can do in 2022.
That's only because you never worked for Harvey Green.
And how about our best sir? How about our best sirs? Our best sirs, man. Hey, we had a fun time.
Yes,
the post game.
Yes, we did. Week 18, ending it in style. Thank you to our executive producer and booth producer, Alejandro Solana, our studio producers, Robert Griepert, Matthew Wilson, and Jimmy Garcia, our radio booth engineer was Stephen J. Gray, and don't forget Steph the Specialist helping out here at the stadium as he does every home game for us. For OJ McDuffie and Seth Levitt, I am Travis Wingfield. The final score from today's game, Dolphins 33, Patriots 24. Woo, baby! This has been the Miami Dolphins post game show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.